Hello and welcome back to Heroic Stats and Any Heroics podcast, hosted, of course, by myself, Stephen Denby, John Partridge, the intern, and Dave Farmer, the man who now loves spiders even more than he used to. If you don't know who I am, you should. I'm the GBHL rankings officer. I'm also the democratically elected through proportional representation captain of Any Heroics. No one else here matters. I guess Dave's quite good at the game. That's probably why he's on here.
When's the rankings getting updated, Stephen? Do people want to
I literally was doing it before the podcast,
know?
so
Okay. Well,
I can
will it be
send you a
done by the time
screenshot.
this comes out? No, I believe it.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, I
I
haven't
don't.
done
I
it for a
don't.
couple of weeks, so
Yeah, well, people have noticed. You're going
yeah.
to get the Dewey treatment, which is to say, every time I win a tournament, I'm going to be like Dewey, or it's going to be you now. But Stephen, when's the rankings update?
Yeah, Jamie's been bugging me as well, to be fair, because I
Yeah,
think he's
because
currently
he.
second.
Yeah, we finished fifth. He wants to get the screenshot of him up top, which is fair enough.
Yeah, we all do that. Anyway, if you haven't listened before, apart from having needless crack with each other, the drug, not the Irish phrase for merriment, what we do here is we look at tournament results for previous weeks. We also do a little bit of hobby chat. A little bit of any other business. Sometimes we've got guest segments. Check previous podcasts to see lovely guests that we've had on previously. But first of all, most importantly, we are of course affiliated with Firestorm Games,
Great
who
value.
great value on all the newest products and all the oldest products as well. I think one of the things that I own from them actually is a really old box of Middle-earth Rangers that I got because I was like, well, this is 20% off. I'll use it at some point, right? Yet to be proven right, but it was so cheap that it was definitely worth it.
Rangers are good to have lying around.
Link below, also QR code directly in front of your face if you're watching on the videos. What's everyone been up to hobby-wise?
I've done nothing.
You've been on holiday,
Arnor is
so.
still, yeah, I went on holiday. I have got, though, a new fancy airbrush from Harder and Steinbeck, who kindly sponsor the podcast. So thank you very much to them for sending it to me in exchange for money, but that's irrelevant.
Yes. I've actually been basically procrastinating doing my Thranduil's halls, but they are now fully cleaned up, the gaps are filled. And it's all at my girlfriend's house, ready for not this weekend, but the weekend after, when we're going to be painting everything, hopefully.
Ooh,
So,
fun. That'd be a fun hobby montage video.
yeah.
You cracking the whip while Monica
No,
rushes him out.
genuinely, yesterday, in the morning, she was like, "Do you have any more models I can prepare?" And I was like, "What?" She's like, "I want to prepare some more models." And I'm like, "But I thought we were playing video games." And she's like, "Yeah, but in the loading screens." And I'm like,
I mean,
Lordy,
I
where
find
there's a whip, there's a
preparing.
way.
Yeah. Oh, that's a banger. What a great track. That came up on a Spotify, an unrelated Spotify song radio of mine the other day, and I was like, what? What's this doing here? It is great though.
Dave's BDSM playlist.
Not even. It was like a folk playlist. And it just pops up and I'm like, I mean, kind of. Hobby wise, I have done nothing. I did a Kung Fu Panda marathon with my girlfriend. Before going to see the new one in the cinema on the weekend, the long weekend. But I just didn't get around to actually doing any of it. I was going to do a similar sort of thing, prep up some models. I've got a bunch that are unbuilt that I've been meaning to get done. A lot of Iron Hills dwarves that I've been looking at and thinking of doing for a while. I even bathed the spears to straighten them out the last time I got them out to build, but then I never actually glued them together, which is, kind of the most important step. I think because I'm not that interested in Iron Hills dwarves at this exact moment, I'm Spider Queens, that kind of thing. It's a lot of stuff going on, My brain's a different place. I'm really enjoying list building as well at the minute. I think winning maybe made me a little bit excited for tournaments again, which is fun, and then a couple of things transpired, which means I can now go to Alley King City of Kings tournament in a month, I think it is. It's beginning of May. So that I now was like, oh, another tournament I can list build for. So anyway, that's it. I've not done any hobby, but I'm excited about hobby. So there you go.
Right, speaking of tournaments, should we look at our first one for the weekend?
Do we do that? Do we look at tournaments? It's been so long. Tournaments?
Sometimes.
What?
So our first
Oh.
event this weekend was a Wizard is Never Late, but is slightly early for April, held on March 31st. It was a
Crazy.
GBHL 90 in Reading, ran by Chris Ryder. Attendees played four games at 500 points. Most sporting was won by Elliot Claude again.
Oh, a boy.
So that's two on the bounce for him in tournaments.
That's
He's too big time
outrageous.
now to appear on the podcast.
Yeah. I think
Best
he was busy
painted
accepting awards.
was Alex Markuchowicz or Alec
Ooh.
Markuchowicz. We didn't get any photos despite two members of Anyheroics being there.
We literally asked them as well. I reminded them the day
Yeah.
before or like 2 days
Very
before.
sporting of Elliot to not take a picture, I'll
No.
say that.
No. So
But I hope he
there's.
did get 4 votes out of 4, which is outrageous.
Yeah.
But
He also had this to say about the tournament. It was an absolute banger. Shout out Chris for being a top bloke. And also shout out Chris for messaging me while we were doing the podcast last time, being like, would you like to shout out the podcast? And I missed the message. So apologies, Chris. Chris is a lovely bloke. He's very fluffy and he's very beardy and he's very baggy, which if you know what is
Is
Longshanks,
he a
he's
bear who's
no,
fluffy
he's
and
beardy
beardy?
fluff bag on Longshanks, I
Oh, I
believe.
see.
Is that right? Yeah.
Okay, now I get what you
Yeah.
mean. I thought you were
So,
describing him physically for a second then, and I was like, what?
ooh.
Huh?
He looks kind of like that picture, except with hair and taller.
Yeah, this is the artist rendition of
You
the
don't know how
Dwarf
tall
King.
this guy is. He might have extremely long feet.
Yes, an extremely long head and beard.
Yeah, that could
Right.
be a giant. Anyway, imagine a really nicely painted dwarf army.
There
Has there
was a
been
really cool special rule that Chris did for this tournament, which was you could pick a scenario if your list contained both a wizard and a Baggins, which I think only one person did.
What scenario did they pick? Do we know?
I don't know. If only we had people who were at the tournament who could have told us these things.
God, that would have been useful.
Yeah.
Well, spoiler alert, whoever took a Baggins and a Wizard did not come third. Third was Callum Rutter bringing Helmsgard. So he's got Helm Hammerhand on a horse with a Warrior of Rohan with banner and throwing spears, eight warriors with throwing spears and shields, nine Royal Guard with throwing spears. And then for a second hero, he's got a King's Huntsman with two riders of Rohan, one Rohan Outrider on foot, and two outriders on horse.
The King's Huntsman is a pretty lit choice. I
Yeah.
th it's situationally good, but as soon as your
It's
lines hit, it's not good anymore.
so for my money, this is a whack choice. I like the King's Huntsman though. I do think it's underrated. I would actually consider it as a so when you take this up to 550/600, you need to have a third hero. And at that point, rather than I'd always have a captain instead of the King's Huntsman here because March is so good and you have to have a second hero because you can't just have one war bandit. It doesn't work. I would say that getting the what was I saying? God, I've lost my head for a second there. Oh yeah, getting the shooting in. They have a longbow, which is strength 3. So it's an elf bow essentially. They hit on 3+, which is decent. The two plus in the way thing is really nice. Like it's like very budget Legolas. And you can't shoot into combat, unfortunately, but for shooting out mounts, he is very good actually, and he has 2 might to spend on that. What I would say is, what I found with Helm Hammerhand is because he's fight five, you really do benefit from having a might caddy in the battle line who isn't him, even though because he's going to have to start using his might eventually, and he does have Mighty Hero, which is great. But if you ever fight anything that's fight five or enemy heroes, you basically have to be using your 3 might to strike, even though you want to be doing 3 heroic combats. So it's just really good value to be having a captain. I wouldn't bother giving the captain anything special though. I wouldn't even give them a horse because they don't benefit from the Helm Hammerhand fight value bonus.
Yeah, you'd probably scrape the points to maybe give them a shield, but even then.
If you give them anything, you'd give them a shield, but I
Yeah.
wouldn't bother for heavy armor. Personally, if I was doing this list now, I wouldn't give them anything. Like throw a Royal Guard behind them for 5/5, use the two attacks and piercing strike to get some strength 5 if you need it. But they're not good unless you're playing Fog of War or Assassination. They're not, you know, you don't have to worry about them at all. So you can just chuck them in there, use them as a beater. I like Hammerhand at 500 in particular. I think he's great. I do think this has got too much cavalry in it. I think having four mounted archers. Well, I guess maybe he wanted to play a sort of a skirmishy kind of game. He's got like a battleline warband with helm, and he's got an archer warband with King's Huntsman. I don't know what scenarios they played. Was it Veto?
No, I don't think so.
I think this list could get screwed by bad scenarios, but then, I mean, at 500, almost anything can. I like the idea. I don't think it's as strong as just making your battleline as big as possible with March, because then you can just jog up with a couple of... I'd keep a couple of mounted Royal Guard for emergencies and for grabbing objectives, because they do get 5/5 when in 6 of helm. But yeah, I think that, I mean, that battle line is very deceptively shooty as well. That's 18 throwing spears, which is quite a lot. And if you have a march, you can just run into their face and go, woo, 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 chuck, chuck, chuck.
Yeah, the throwing spear spam at this point, so it's kind of like a budget version of Defenders of Helm's Deep, and that you got a shit ton of throwing version. Spears. Well, no, because at 500 you can't get points.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, at 500 points, I guess Defenders of Helm's Deep, you're going to have about 22 spears and elves. But this has Helm Hammerchad, who can run people over for fun and absolutely butchers dwarves, even Vault Wardens, with laughable ease, which is cool. But yeah, I mean, he's not super great. I think 500 to 600 is basically the only points level where he's worth a damn. But I really like him. I like him. I love his model. And I actually have him, and I want to use him another time. But, you know, we'll see.
Right. Let's look at our second place list. We've got Richard Spencer bringing Azog's Hunters, 39 models. He's got Narzog, who was the leader, with a Felwarg, 8 orcs with bow, 3 orcs with nothing extra. Yasneg with Felwarg and a lance, leading 1 Felwarg, 4 hunters with bow, and 7 normal hunters. Finally, he's got Fimbul on a Felwarg with a Felwarg in the warband, 6 Hunter Orcs, 1 Hunter Orc with banner, and 4 more with bow, for a total of 18 bows. What do we think of this one?
That's horrible.
It's Hunter Orcs be Hunter Orking.
It's probably one of the best possible lists to use at this points level. Yeah. I'm not surprised from Richard. I know he's pretty much said, he's like, I want to win stuff. He's a bit like you, John. I think he's pretty aware of what's good and wants to use that. So yeah, this is good. What I would say is, I sort of feel like maybe it's difficult to find the points there, because there's really no edges you can trim. I'd like Narzog to have a mount, wow, if possible. Yeah. But the problem is, if you drop something, you then have to drop bows, or you're dropping the banner. But if you drop the banner, you're not maxing your points.
You could drop. I see what you mean. Yeah, you have to get precisely 9 points worth of stuff.
Yeah, because you need 10 for the warg for Narzog. You drop a Felwarg infantry troop just because it's like, cool, that gets you the warg. You still have it. It's just on your mount, and you're not losing a break point or a bow limit, but you do still have to drop a bow because you've got your 1 point over. I think this is on balance a reasonable choice. I think I presume Narzog is the leader.
Yeah.
And just praying for no contest. Although even contest, I mean, he's an orc captain with 3 might. You can probably force a kill or two onto him.
Contest, yeah, the other two can run diversion. Has, I think the other two can run diversion on the enemy leader, mm-hmm. Which at 500 points, you shouldn't be running into any Helm Hammer Hands or anything like that.
Yeah, there's no way. Well, yeah, you know, if Helm Hammer Hand plays against this list at contest, he just wins. But I presume they didn't play each other at contest.
Well, you've got a chance to shoot his horse out, but
true.
Yes.
But if he's smart and he voluntarily dismounts, he's laughing at you. Also, he has horse lord, so it's not a great odds.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I like this list.
This is
probably one of the best possible lists at 500 points.
Yeah, I agree with that.
39 models.
Let me note that down.
Strength 4 is insane. I mean, you could tell this is OP, John. Look at it. 18 bows, nearly 40 models.
It's got the 3 wargs for recon as well.
Didn't help me at the GP.
2 mounted heroes. Yeah, that's 600, right?
It's lacking march, right? But you've got 40 models. Who gives a shit?
Well, exactly. You can play around it. And you have five fast models, and you have shooting supremacy against almost everything. Pretty much the only thing this doesn't have that it could have hypothetically is the Warhorn, but I agree that I think the banner is better than the Warhorn at 500.
Yeah,
You're
and
less
it's
likely to walk into terror, so yeah.
unlikely that you'll come up against much terror,
And even if you do, you've got
except
plenty of stuff to charge.
for our first place list,
Whoa, nice segue,
which
Josh.
was from friend of the channel, number two or three super fan, I reckon, Stuart McLean. Definitely up there, joint with Liam Smith and the only JP. Stuart has brought Mordor Serpent Horde, that combo that everybody loves, 36 models. He's got a very budget Witch King.
Yeah, his budget.
So three might, one fate, no extra will, no crown, not
No
even a poor
horse.
little horse, leading 16 black gnomes, one wild rider. Then he's got Suladan, the Serpent Lord, with an armored horse, leading nine Haradrim warriors with bow and spear, six warriors with spear, and two serpent riders.
I think this is a fascinating list because it's so like I see what he's going for. I think it's interesting. I think taking the Witch King without the crown, without everything, like you have 10 will to play with, which is enough for two or three spells, but bearing in mind that you have to be committing a bit more than you normally would the Witch King because you haven't taken the crown. You lose the combat power, but with a list like this, he's got 36 models. It's pretty good. Got the infantry. He's got the troop cavalry, and he's got Suladan. I would imagine you'd make the Witch King the leader on this one, and then again just throw Suladan in. But I think that's what I would do. Again, just gambling on contest not coming up because contest sucks for that. But other
Yeah.
everything else is vastly better because the Witch King isn't that easy to kill. Although one fate, that's brave. You know,
I
two wounds go through,
personally,
he just dies.
I'd drop a serpent rider to a wild rider and then maybe spend that 5 points on the second fate point.
Not five. You.
Or
That's not 5 points. Do you mean a seven rider to a?
a serpent rider to a wild rider. Oh wait, I see. Oh,
Yeah,
it's
that's 2
26, not.
points.
Oh. Oh my God, it's so
Serpent riders are
trim.
13 points. They're very, very good, but
It's so
they're not
trim.
16 points. It's very, very trim. Yeah, I honestly looking at this, I'd almost. I guess the magic is like the sort of the X factor, so I wouldn't necessarily change that. But I'm kind of looking at it. I almost feel like could you maybe do this with Dalamir instead? Because Dalamir and throw some crossbows in, and that gives you a bit more shooting. I agree, though. I like the Witch King, and if you're willing to take the risk, I mean, you can be a Mike Caddy and or mild caster, and at 500, you're pretty unlikely to run into other wraiths. Like
Or
wraiths don't get
Legolas.
taken that much, or Legolas. Although Legolas would make this very sad,
Yeah.
assuming the Witch King is the leader. But I assume he is because I think that would make more sense. I like the list. I
Yeah.
think it lacks a lot of. Strength four, it doesn't have any apart from the Warg Rider. And I guess you've got Lances and Suladan. But I think just having 36 models and a massive front line of Black Gnomes with some Cav is
Yeah,
decent.
16 black numbers is
Got March
so
as
many.
well, because Suladan does bloody everything. That's why it's so good.
I mean, this list really shows kind of everything the Witch King can do, doesn't it? Like having a three might, 10 will, one fate, kind of 18 warriors with him caster and 90 points. If you could just take that as a profile, you probably would. It's
Yeah.
different to the normal build of the Witch King, and it's probably a bit fragile as your leader, but it's still really good and just shows kind of how good the Witch King is. Cracked.
Yeah, I mean the Witch King is extremely flexible. Being able to run him like this and still have it be strong, it's kind of funny and kind of crazy that that's so, you know, relevant. The Mordor and Joromir is like sad that there's no trackers, but at the same time, like just there's no way to improve the list other than getting stats on the Witch King, and then you're losing Black Numenoreans. I think that's a fascinating list. I've never seen anything quite like that at 500. Other
Yeah,
than
it's
I
really
once
cool.
built a list like this with basically I was trying to make Witch King Spider Queen work at well, Mordor Spider Queen work at 450, and you pretty much have to take the most budget Witch King like this kind of build. To even make it work, but then you're like, ah, I run into mild shooting, everything falls apart because my Spider Queen just dies. Anyway, that's a nice list. Good job, Stuart.
Yeah. Right, let's look at our second tournament of the weekend. Fellowship of Glasgow, GBHL 90. Ran
Good
at
Lego.
Geet Retreat.
It could be Greek.
Thomas Sherlock was the TA. 18 players played 500 points, four games across the day. 500 points again, just in case you needed that point really hammering home. It was random missions, but our fantastic reporter on the ground, David Reed, let us know which missions they played. So it was Lords of Battle, Hold Ground, Recon, and Capture and Control. Most Sporting was won by Ross Clark, and Best Painted was taken by Ian Young's Isengard. So we've got one blurry photo. I think there's some very nicely painted generation shift bases there.
Oh, it's got the old giant Warhammer giant piece for that objective. The skeleton sign thing. That was a sprue piece from the old Warhammer giant kit. There's loads of like classic ones, like the cow and the peasant running away. Like, that kit had so many of those in it. It had loads of little birds. It's got like a cage. It's crazy. Like, just I always like to see that sort of thing cropping up. Don't like to see ballistas quite so much, though. Those things can piss off.
Yeah, they can get in the bin.
It's fine, Dave. You're changing the meta, right?
Yeah, blinding light meta, people.
Yeah.
Bring them out.
Bring your blinding lights. Don't bring your crossbows. So let's look at our third place. It was a joint third place. We'll have to check the rankings officer if that's allowed. But James Gilray and Michael Wetton were tied on VPs, I believe. I don't actually know whose list was who, so tell us in the comments. One of the lists was Erebor Reclaimed, 25 models, Old Man Dane, 4 Iron Hills with crossbow, 6 Iron Hills with spear, 2 Iron Hills with just shields, and then Gloin the Dwarf, Champion of Erebor, Gimli's daddy, Eremor, yeah, champion of somewhere. 3 Iron Hills with crossbow, 2 Iron Hills dwarfs, 5 Iron Hills dwarfs with spear, and 1 goat rider. So that was one of our 500 point lists. The other was Grim Beorn, 11 Beornings with axe, 4 Beornings with bow.
I love that the Beornings player hasn't taken Beorn.
I don't. I was about to say, I think that's just worse.
No, I think it's worse, but it shows creativity in the list building process.
Do you think it's worse?
Yes, it is worse. 100%, yeah, because the bears are what makes the list good.
Well, 15 Beornings is pretty solid, but 5 Beornings and 2 bears is better.
Yes.
Bjorn is actually good in that legion.
Oh, you mean taking only one?
Well, there are literally two both options. Yeah, there are two options, yeah, when you run Beornings. One is below 700 points.
Yeah.
The option is, well, I mean, actually, no, below 500 points, sorry. The option is either Grimbjorn and a full warband of Beornings, or Beorn, Grimbjorn, and then a smattering of Beornings. So in that case, it'd be 5 for the
couple of great bows. If you're only taking one bear, do you always take Grimbjorn first, right?
I probably would, because he's a bit less, he doesn't have the downsides that Beorn has, although Beorn does have fight 8.
Yeah, that's what I thought Stephen was saying. I thought Stephen was saying it was wrong to take Grimbjorn.
No, I think you should take both bears. Although I understand why sometimes people want to just have the all the Beornings because they want to play with them, which is fair. I just think it's slightly stronger. Having said that, actually, 15 Beornings is very hard to deal with for most armies at 500. Like if you're in a straight fight, that would absolutely pants this dwarf list. It would just rip it to shreds. Because they just walk through dwarves.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a bear banner. You've got you're only 10 models or 9 models down, like, and your models are just so much better.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I mean, if you
in terms of like wound count,
he's got
33 wounds.
Decent. Yeah, I mean, it's decent. Although I will say this Erebor Reclaim list isn't exactly big numbers either, even at 500. Gloin does crazy good work, and I didn't even really clock. I mean, I knew this, but I'd never really thought about it. Gloin is cheaper than Gimli, and literally better. Just better.
Yeah,
He's got
Well, the
one
only way
will,
he's
one
not
fate,
better.
but it's like, hey, Gimli, he's like, you have three attacks or plus one to wound, and Gloin's like, yeah, I'm gonna have both and reroll ones. Ha. Grow up, kiddo. This is how
People
you use
argue
an
that Hobbit
axe.
models aren't OP.
I always look at
They're not.
Gloin
They're
in
just
Champions of
that
Erebor
one's
and Erebor
better.
Reclaimed, and I just think, what a nice profile. Like,
Yeah, I mean,
he does
Glo
get absolutely fucked by magic with one will, but
yeah.
he's only
But
90 points,
he's
so.
he he's yeah, he's fight six, three attacks, three to piercing strike with plus one. So he can go to strength five, plus one to wound. Three attacks, rerolling ones to wound. D8 basic, three might. He's got strike. It's like, dude, this guy cooks. He grinds extremely well. Like, he's great to add into a dwarf list when you need another fighter. Like, he's not a flashy hero. These dwarf lists tend to lack flashy heroes other than Thorin and Dwalin. But they do just boom, 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 boom. You know, you put him into two guys a turn, he'll probably kill two, one or two a turn reliably. And he's very unlikely to die in return unless your opponent pulls him out with magic and throws Gilgalad at his face or something. But I
I've
don't know anyone
literally
who would
done
do
that
something like
twice with
that.
Gloin.
Oh, have you? Well, I
It's one
didn't
of my
know.
favorite
Haha,
things to
wink,
do with
wink.
Gloin. I look at him and I'm always like, you're actually the weak link in the list when it comes to magic targeting.
Right, let's look at second place. He's been churned up quite a few times on the podcast. It's the Scottish Dynamo, Finlay Staniforth.
The
Hero
Scottish
from the
Dynamo.
north. He's taken Easterlings, not the Dragon Emperor.
Hey,
I believe
that's
somebody
part of
else
the
actually
point.
wrote this list for him, and Finlay just wanted to flex on the fact that he could take a suboptimal list and still come second. But you didn't win, though, Finlay, did you? So maybe you should take good list. He's brought Amda leading three Easterling warriors with shield, three Easterling black dragons with pike and shield, five Easterlings with pike and shield, one Dragoncourt acolyte with an axe, a Easterling black dragon cataphract, a Easterling black dragon cataphract with war drum, and then he's got Brogir leading three Easterling warriors with shield, three black dragons with pike and shield, five Easterling warriors with pike and shield, and one more Dragoncourt acolyte with an axe. There's
Do
no
you know he has an
picture.
axe, or are you just assuming that there's a weapon swap as an axe?
I know it's an axe.
Well, it could be flails.
It could be two flails.
Flails are really useless, but it would be cool if it's something
Thanks to
different.
our fantastic on the ground reporter, David Reed, I know that they were axes.
Is it
Shout
because
out
David
again
Reed
to
wrote
David
the
Reed.
list for him? Or
So this
No,
is a funny one because I think Amda is okay at this points level specifically. I remember Ben Haslam, I think it was
it Into the West last year?
2023. Yeah, he went into the West last year. No, came second into the West last
Yeah,
year
he came second
with
last year.
Rutabi and Brogir and maxed out warbands. And I remember thinking like that. I was like, it'd be nice if you could run Amda because Amda is just a little bit killier. Obviously, Rutabi has Master of Battle potential, but that's basically what this is, but with more frills and less. But it's obviously slightly more points. Into the West is 450 and this is 500. Brogir is good. You can make Amda very, very killy if you give him
Yeah, you
Blade
turn him
Wrath.
into a spider queen if you Blade Wrath him, essentially.
Or even worse than that, if you channel it, yeah.
This is the only Amda. Can't really see, but he's been turned into a Dragon Knight for Denby.
As he should be.
That's the only
Yeah.
good use for
Well,
him, really.
I don't think Amda is good, but I like him. I also worth noting he counts as a puny 3-inch banner and doesn't even count as a banner for scenarios. But that does mean you're not going rerollless in a list like this. Dragoncourt acolytes with axes help a lot, and he's gone quite low on black dragons, but it's an okay list. I think this is the thing that when you're not running the Legion, you have to be meager with your black dragon upgrades because they are 2 points per, because you're buying courage even if you don't necessarily want
And
to.
I guess they're only going out to fight four as well. They don't even get all the way up to five. It's a bit peak.
I mean, that's Easterlings for you. This is why people used to think they were crap, because they were pretty much. Or they didn't have that 4 to 5 step is like the big powerful one, as we discussed before. Like fight five is where you start being better than the majority of things you went into,
Speaking
troop wise.
of fight four to fight five steps, let's have a look at our winning list.
Is it Boris?
Another fantastic segue. Big Boz himself. So Mark Capewell took 27 Minister of Models. He took Boromir, Captain of the White Tower, with the flag, horse, and a shield. Five warriors and Minas Tirith with shield. Four rangers of Gondor with spear. Three guard of the Fountain Court with shield. And a knight with shield. And then he had Madril leading five warriors and Minas Tirith with shield. One warrior Minas Tirith with shield and spear. Four rangers with spear. And two guard of the Fountain Courts with shield. It's another 90 win for Minas Tirith.
I mean, that's good on the podium. Yeah, I think 500 points is a pretty strong points level for them, because what exactly is going to deal with Boromir at 500 points?
Like, yeah, even Helmhand shits the bed here.
Well, Boromir just slaps him, or yeah, exactly, just kills his army before. Well, actually, I mean, Helm will kill. This is a good example though. Helm will kill this army easy peasy, but he does have to strike every time, and if he has to use his thing for heroic moves, his free might point for heroic moves, he then runs into Fountain Court, who are like, yeah, you kill us on fours, but we have the same flight value as you.
That's a nice horse you've got there, Mr. Helmhammerhand.
Well, exactly, yeah. You then have to strike to reliably kill two models, while Boromir's like, I'll just throw a combat because I've got nine might. So actually, nine in that context, nine might fight five ends up being a lot more than Helm's five might with an infinite store, even with the free heroic combats, because against a list like this, you can't do free heroic combats. Or at least, I mean, if you can, but you're playing a dangerous game doing so. Because you could just lose your horse, and then if you do, Boromir will just run through your army too quickly.
So, yeah,
it's tough. It's a good list, very basic, pretty much. Like, there's not a lot to say about it, other than this is a Boromir list. Madril enables him in all the ways I like. I like Madril here. I like Madril because he's cheap. He has a bow. He gives you the march. He gives you a little bit of protection in like Maelstrom if you need it, and then it enables Boromir to use all of his might on heroic combats just to make sure you are killing stuff as fast as you need to be.
Yeah, and suddenly you have a massive numbers advantage because your models are dying slowly. Boromir is rampaging through.
Yeah.
You've got okay shooting. Like, you're not out shooting hunter orcs or elves, but nine bows, it's all right.
It's all right. Yeah, you got some might in there as well. What I would say is this kind of list would definitely get painfully hurt by fighting Stuart's list, because you're like, well, you have a fight value advantage, they have about 10 numbers on you, you can't really get into a shooting war because they have the same amount of bows, and you know,
I think
and also the Witch King can take away Boromir's horse very easily.
I still think this list does well into that list.
It does
on
okay.
The basis
I wouldn't say
soon as you've killed Black Numenoreans, you're fighting defense four men instead. Although I suppose you could.
There are 16 Black Numenoreans though. The battle line will be vast and wide.
Yeah. Okay. Fair point. Yeah, I forgot about that. There were 16 of them.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. 500 points. 16 is a lot. It's a lot. 800 is more than I take.
What's the general gist for kind of list building in Minas Tirith? Do you try and take a third rangers with spear, so for that shooting threat?
I would always, if you're running Boromir, I would always try and max out rangers with spear.
Yeah, rangers are really good.
The fight five is crucial, and the spears are crucial, and the bows give you the option of having a shooting war that isn't horrendous. You probably won't outshoot most things with a third rangers, even with Madril, just because anything that's going to try and shoot you probably has better shooting and or crossbows, which will beat you because you win them on sixes and they win you on fours.
I think the list tips should always be start with Boromir and Madril. If you're not taking Boromir, I think Madril's almost always an auto-include in Minas Tirith.
He's very good. I like Madril.
He's really good.
And yeah, even when he's out of might. Even when he's out of might, same as I was saying earlier about the Rohan captain, it's like, cool. Madril with a ranger behind him is three attacks to win the fight with a reroll, strength four at the front. You know, he can faint because he's 5-4 and his ranger buddy behind him is 5-5. You know, it's just that little bit of mojo, like two attacks, strength four heroes. They help a lot in this kind of list when you're worried
then
about
you take two
killing
trebuchets at 800 points and nuke the Dragon Emperor.
I'm not sure how we got
any
there.
Trebuchets at 800 points. Like, trebuchet siege weapon lists are Not the one. They exist. I don't rate them that highly.
Yeah.
Right. Let's have a look at our meta for the year so far. So,
Meter.
everyone's favorite graph shows us GBHL 100 podiums and any factions with two or more 90 podiums. Meta's pretty spread out at the moment. There's a whole bevy of lists kind of with only one 90 podium. So they got cut off. Once we've got more hundreds, we'll split the graph a bit more. So still leading the pack, we've got Isengard, Riders of Théoden. We've got Dark Denizens of Mirkwood, who are now on three total podiums. One of them was the Chittery man himself, David. Army of Lake Town dominating kind of 90s. Minas Tirith doing really well at 90s as well.
They both have five, yeah.
Yeah, both have five.
Five and
Mordor's
90s.
starting to creep up. It's got kind of three total podiums now. Maybe we'll slowly start seeing a bit of a resurgence for it as kind of some of the tournament points levels get higher.
I'm quite surprised that Mordor took, what was it, 500s before it came got on the podium. That surprises me. Because it's
It's the
15
points
plus for the
level, though,
list.
right?
Yeah, but I mean, Mordor is good at all points levels. Not great at small points levels, I'll give you that, but it's not bad either. But yeah, I agree. I guess on that level, like, it becomes much easier to just build a strong Mordor-based list at, a slightly larger points. I'll give you that.
Well, hopefully after City of Steel this weekend, there'll be two more Mordor lists on the podium, Dave, won't there?
No, I'm taking Lothlorien.
Oh, well, we can have two more Mordors and a Lothlórien on there.
I tell you what, nothing would make me happier than the three of us podiuming and then just getting to just big ego, big heroic smug next week.
Yeah.
I think that would be the best.
I think
Wow.
that would be the peak. We'd have to stop
We'd have to stop the
podcasting
podcast. My
after
ego would blow through the walls.
that. Yeah. Do we want to talk about our lists for City of Steel? I know the Golems gamers have done their fantastic kind of a event prelude, but
Yeah, the first list that they reviewed was actually my list. And Sam Grattan immediately was like, "Is this Dan Breach's list?" And I messaged him and I was like, "You knew it was me."
did they like
You
it
saw
or?
me.
They did like it. They had some interesting feedback. But I think in general they liked it. But yeah, I mean, we don't need to review lists here. I think that would be unnecessary. If you want to check out the list on that Inferior podcast, go check them out. If we're generous, we might throw a link in the description or something.
Yeah, you'll be able to see my list in next week's podcast episode.
We don't award the wooden spoon, mate.
He was
Well,
somewhere best painted, of course.
when Dave wins the tournament, you'll be able to see my list.
Are you
What are you
taking
trying to
identical
say?
lists?
John copied me, yeah.
Oh, boo. Is it
Big
actually
news.
identical?
No, it's not
Is
identical.
very
It's
similar after I gave
just
Dave the
almost
idea for the
identical.
heroes.
John is
Sure.
flippantly remarking there, I want to point out.
I
Oh,
came up
that's
with
why
Goth
you were
Mog
painting
first.
Goth Mog. I have receipts that I sent that exact list to Ali in February, but go off, King.
Well, I sent the list to I in our personal discussions between me and you, I
Yeah.
brought up Goth Mog first. It's fine. History's written by the winner, Dave, so we'll say whoever does better at the weekend came up with the idea.
Sure.
So Dave came up with the idea.
That's a
Yeah,
brave,
probably.
as I said, that's a brave wager, but we'll see. I'm a little bit concerned about the amount of Lothlorien, actually. I think that's quite a challenging matchup for the kind of list that we've taken, because you don't really get any bonuses, and you lose out on fight value, and you lose out on magic ability. Not doomed, but it's tough. I've played that. Like, Lothlorien was always one of the hard like lists for Barn-Dûr. I know it has this has the same weaknesses. Like, they have a pretty solid basis to beat you. They have something. The main thing they don't have is strength four or anything like that. Like, Haldir isn't exactly a beater, and he has to be careful because if he does fail to resist something, you will just kill his ass.
Brute force it with double wraith.
Like, you can do, but I mean, he can just double six with his magic
Yeah,
resistance.
it'd be a shame if the Lothlorien list also got a free resolve every turn.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Having said that, though, it just depends on the scenario.
Yeah. As with everything, you can't, like, we could sit here and talk about it for hours.
This McLaren scenario is the largest factor, but yeah, that is not a matchup I'm particularly relishing. However, another commonest is Angmar, another one is Isengard, and Mordor should be pretty comfortable in both of those because Shade Angmar isn't that scary for Mordor.
No.
Do you think
You can.
Gothmor's good in the Mordor mirror?
Yeah, he is, yeah. If you're
Yeah,
playing
especially if
someone who
they've got
doesn't have him,
nummies.
because they'll have Black Numenoreans, and I mean, if they don't have Black Numenoreans, your line will just beat the crap out of theirs anyway. And if they do have Black Numenoreans and they don't have Gothmog, you have Gothmog who kills them quite easily. Obviously, they'll probably just transfix him. Like, if we're playing a mirror match, it would be very, very silly. I was
It's going to
thinking
be
that,
awkward for the final round when we're playing for the mirror
and then you draw and
the
I
tournament.
jump over the top of you guys, so you get second, third, I get first.
Before mid-table mediocrity for everybody involved.
Listen, I'm going 4-2 on the weekend, and there ain't nothing anybody can do to stop me.
I think I'll either go 5-1 or 2-4, one of the two. Depends how much we drink in the party house on Friday night.
John, I don't think you should drink anything on Friday night after last time.
The GP was a mess. That was a rough Saturday morning.
You were whacking down that wine like nobody's business.
John, put the photo of you in the GP hall here.
You mean the one where it looks like I'm naked, but I wasn't actually naked?
Yes, that one.
No, we won't put that up. I've got a career to protect.
Oh shit, yeah.
Might have to. Maybe I'll edit that out.
Yeah, maybe beep that. That's fine.
Yeah, probably not. I was not naked in that photo.
No, you weren't
No,
actually. No, that's fine.
I was wearing pants and shorts. Right, moving swiftly on to everyone's favorite part of the pod, viewer comments. So I think the first comment at the top of the list was a lovely reply from Into the West podcast, who viewers from last week will remember podiumed. Did he win the whole thing?
No, he
No, he
came
was second.
second. The Bolgan Hunters was second.
It was Richard specifically.
So Richard has written, appreciate the list review. A bit surprised it was received well from your group. New army for me, and many of the top players here seem to doubt his capabilities. Hunter Orcs at high points, as well as Azog's Legion, are rarely seen as a highly competitive pick, but I'm quite happy with how it played for me, though. Also, the bats are underrated. Insane mobility. And then there's a reply to that comment. Big fan of the war bats, especially with Azog and Bolg, as they help against magic casters. They're usually in the back line, out of combat. It's perfect for the pluck rule.
Yeah,
Thank.
the pluck rule is very good, I would say.
Y yeah.
That does also get better with more bats. I always just think I'm someone who likes to max up my battle line as much as possible personally. So I tend to find that overdoing things like bat swarms or war bats or cavalry models is an easy trap to make your battle line weaker, but also give your opponent easily played with pieces. Because war bats are easily compelled and killed, is my feeling. But then also, like, it depends on your meta. If magic isn't super common, then they run rampant. And as you say, they can be mean to Galadriels or Ringwraiths behind the lines or on foot.
Thank you for the comment, Richard. We are all available to do some lovely across the pond podcast crossovers. Dave, if you want someone who knows what they're talking about. Stephen, if you want somebody for his good looks. Me, if you want someone
Who's likely to be awake at the hour required? On
only if
call
I'm
at
on
3
nights.
a.m.
Carson Howard, big fan of the pod, says, of all the ways I've introduced my friends in how to play MESBG, Battle Companies has been the way that got them to stay. I believe it's because it's your company. He calls his Moria Battle Company the Slip Blade Brigade. Their whole goal is to be recognized by the Black Shields. And the intern cuts something off. Yeah, Battle Companies is sick. I think we talked about it a couple of
Yeah, we
episodes
were
ago.
saying that it was the Stephen was saying it's his favorite way to play the game, introduce people. Which was also a reply to another comment of Carson's where he said he was able to play a little bit. So it's nice to have that. Yeah, I think
Maybe
it's.
the stag tournament is Battle Companies.
I've
So
never played Battle
you're
Companies.
allowed to do Battle Companies for an 80.
The real problem with Battle Companies, and I say this as someone who's played about six Battle Companies campaigns, is that certain battle companies roll over the rest of them like nobody's business. Because you, when you're getting reinforcements, if one of the reinforcements is an elf, or on a special table, you roll a six, you get a Rivendell knight, and the other company gets a goblin warrior.
Yeah.
Issue. Or
I
Dead of
mean,
Dunharrow, Rangers, Iron Hills Dwarves, the list
I've
goes
heard, yeah, I was
on.
going to say, I've heard the Rangers is completely broken.
The Rangers is especially bullshit. But
So I will play those then.
John, reading glasses on, carefully perusing the power level, net listing battle companies like nobody's business.
If I get to pick what I took to my own stag tournament.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't.
Specifically, I went and checked Carson Howard's finish of his comment, which was like five additional words, is eventually become kings slash the ruling faction in Moria.
Get a groblog,
Yeah.
all of them. Get a bunch of groblogs, so all of your guys can have mithril crowns.
Yeah, I like that.
Beautiful.
Ogitomo says what sounds like a challenge. You must do worse than that to clean out the Aussie viewers.
Yeah, I mean, I take this as a big compliment. We're saying like the Aussies love us so much that even Stephen's horrible Aussie racism couldn't drive them off. I
I
think it
do
was
actually
Stephen.
have
I don't
cousins. I
remember.
do actually have Australian cousins,
Well, that
so.
makes it fine then.
Yeah. So I've got a reason to go down there, although I will immediately be lynched by the
Nah,
MESBG community
it's all
for
right.
horrible things.
They'll just make you play Kylie in a best out of seven.
Oh God, I don't fancy going 0-7 at a tournament.
It'd only be 0-4. That's what best of works.
Oh yeah, shit.
The only
Series.
JP1 comments, the exact word something random. Yes, bonus points if you write the word something random. Pedantry is encouraged around here, and he provides, or she provides, the timestamp for exactly when that was said.
Any
You know, the
JP1
word for
sounds like a
he or
nerd.
she
is just they. It's one word and it fulfills all.
Handy.
Yep.
He or she is easier to style out when you've started saying he already, because you may or may not know who this person already is, and are pretending that you don't.
Well, as the
However,
first person to comment what was said and comment exactly,
that's true. I did say
we will
comment
send them
something.
a prize
Yeah.
and we will make sure there are significant bonus points. We'll send you something good. We'll send you something good. Maybe you will get
Maybe we should send
a
them
new
something random.
airbrush from Heider and Steinberg.
Maybe you'll get some Lolcana decks from Seventh City.
That'd be crazy.
Oh, do you think the only
Why are
JP would
we
like that?
I like that I love that you've included the non-bred comment as well, even though it was pretty obvious what they meant. You're like, no, just in case people saw this. Robert Stevens 3847 comments asking, what is your ultimate takeaway meal? He says, mine is chicken dansak with pilau rice, tikka chi and cheese naan. And then he clarifies he means naan bread and not someone's naan, which I think is a very sweet thing to say, especially when you can edit the comments.
My favorite meal is Pepe's Peri Peri chicken. As a takeaway, it's just absolutely slaps. They're all over the place. They're in Birmingham, Bristol, London, etc.
Yeah.
There's some mid ones here in Bristol, but there was one that used to be a minute down the road from where I lived in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Oh, dangerous.
Sometimes it's like situations can make it a classic. So for me, I have two takeaways. If I want something big and heavy that I'm like two go-tos, I'll get a if I want something nice, it'll be like a Kokoro Kokoro rice bowl, sweet and sour chicken is amazing for the really good value for the money as well, in my opinion, in this era anyway. Like in the modern era of takeaways, it's good value. In terms of if I want something kind of grubby and dirty and just selfishly for me, if I'm going to eat in my gaming hovel, it would be KFC, Zinger Burger.
Yeah.
And they're never nice either. The chips are disgusting, but sometimes that's just what you want.
No, KFC chips are now good because they've got that sugary,
No,
salty.
but when you get them delivered, they're very
Oh,
rarely
okay, yeah.
actually good.
Yeah, because
They're
they get
like soggy
salty.
and grim, but in a sort of filthy and delicious kind of way.
I'd like to shout out KFC when you can get the 6 mini fillets for £6.
Are
No,
we sponsored by
10
KFC,
mili
John?
fillets for maybe after this
Yeah, I
the
was gonna say,
you get
hopefully
10
KFC
mili
watch this.
fillets for £6.
I remember.
Colonel is actually an
Do you remember
SBG
when
player.
you were going to the One Day 100 last year and I had a ticket for it and I was like, you know what? Fuck this. So I gave it to you or I sold it to you or something.
Yeah.
And you came and slept at my house so Jamie Wiggins could come and pick you up. And you ordered a 20 piece mini fillet bucket or something. And I was like, oh, cool. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is all for me.
Yeah, I was like, do you want anything as well, Stephen? Do you want me to order you something?
I was
It's
just like,
important to clarify that if you're ordering enough food for
yeah.
two people, you're like, no, this is just for me. Sorry, be clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was an interesting drive. I believe Jamie almost got you killed.
I was too sleep deprived to remember it, to be honest.
I was in a different car watching the thing happen, but it was a little closer than I would have liked. Although shout out Jamie Wiggins, he's generally a very safe driver, but that was
Yes.
a scary moment to watch from a different car.
If you live anywhere near Bristol and you ever need a lift anywhere, Jamie Wiggins will probably offer it to you because he's
Yeah,
that kind of dude.
he loves driving people to places. In another world, he'd be a chauffeur. He definitely doesn't go faster than the speed limit. Ever.
Our next comment is from Brickwan saying, lol, Brit's still salty and calling literal divine intervention cheating. Cheers from Argentina.
It's all right. I'll just enjoy watching that on the Falkland Islands, bitch.
Think you mean Las Malvinas, don't you?
Same thing.
Is it Las Malvinas? Yeah, I mean,
continuing
sure. Stephen just
continuing our
trying to
trend
alienate everybody in the Southern
of
Hemisphere.
international
nice to see
hatred.
you too, Brick One.
Well,
Hola, ¿qué pasó? Me
right,
llamo
that's not.
Esteban. Vivo en las afueras de Kingsbridge, un pequeño. I still remember my GCSE Spanish, isn't that sad?
I don't.
You'd bet David Clubley'd be embarrassed.
Yeah, continuing our incitement of hatred from other nations. Wiley Kylie says, you're certainly talking a big game, but I'm curious if you can back it up. I have at least one full team of Aussies heading to Ardacon this year, maybe a second Anzac team if the Kiwis show up. Perhaps a wager to see who places higher. That is, of course, if you're not scared to put some skin in the game.
Ah, what kind of wager? That's fun. This is Kylie, in case you couldn't tell by the name. I like that this podcast is doing the rounds on Australia. Clearly posting it to the page is, I never saw any interaction with it, but evidently people were watching it, so I'm excited for that. Hi to the
Every one of my
Australians.
posts is just trying to bait the mods into kind of finally banning me for
No, Australians are really
solicitation.
good for not banning people because they are the exiles from the Great Throwing Spear war, a meme war.
Unless you bring up Tom Bombadil and inches, at which
Yeah.
point they will throw you out faster than babies and bathwater combined. I would say that was my favorite hypocritical moment of 2023 was the whole Tom
Yeah.
Bombadil disaster occurring in the Australian page. But you know, we're not so different. We have a similar attitude. We enjoy SBG. We'll definitely destroy you, knock on wood. If I go to Ardacon, I will gladly take you up on that. However, I don't know if I'm going because I didn't bother
Guess
to buy a ticket
our
because
problem is a
I
lot of
was
the
counting.
best UK players will be split between different teams, won't they?
Yeah, of
Yeah.
course. And the problem with going to Ardacon is it's, you know, for people who are playing in the GBHL, it's like it's 100 GBHL points on offer. I would say this year it's different because this changed the scoring, so there's more potential points on offer. But it's like you could go to Ardacon or you could try and win another event the next week. It's just a lot of SBG. Having said that, I did say I was going to try and go to Ardacon this year for the first time since 2017. So maybe I can be embarrassed by doing worse than you at Ardacon and or sound like a great predictor when I totally smash it because I said I would. But yeah,
I'll
that
work
sounds like
with you,
fun. If
Dave.
I'm going to Articon, definitely reach out and we'll get some comedy bet going. Probably not actual money because I'm poor as hell, but maybe some sort of forfeit could be fun.
Poor as hell, but we'll pay the £300 to £400 required to go to Articon.
Is it that much? I don't think it's that much. Last time I checked, it was like £80 for a ticket.
Plus hotel, plus transport.
Okay, why is that £300?
Because you've got to stay in the hotel.
No, you don't. So I've fixed your whole problem there, I think.
Yeah. All right, I'm down, Dave. Let's go.
I'm down dirty. Any heroics going to win the team championship? Arcon, maybe.
That's
If enough
Dave
people go.
confirming his transfer for next year.
I mean, I have played for any heroics before, so it's not like there's no precedent for that. But yeah, no,
Duke
that'd be
Van
fun.
S says something
Oh,
random.
big.
Believe
Well
that's, is
played,
that
Duke.
Dirk?
I don't know.
It
It
might
could
be
be.
Dirk. We're
It's
big fans
clearly
of
called
Dirk if
Duke.
it is.
Dirk?
Clearly Duke. Dirk from Guardians Discord.
No, that's not Dirk. Dirk is literally his name is on YouTube.
Don't stop assuming that people that you don't know are people that you do
Just
know.
because he's got a D and a K in his name
He's got
and
a
a
D and a K. It
van.
has to be the one guy that I know. No. Thank you, Duke Van. I was hoping someone would say that
Yeah,
wasn't the
me
only
too.
JP one, because that
You're
guy's a
the real
nerd.
winner here.
You're the real winner.
Well, he's not getting the prize sent to him. That goes to the NJP.
I've just seen the next comment.
I know this is great. I didn't see this.
I'll let you read it out then, Stephen.
Master Ball UK 6780 says lots of
Alec.
dick not being blown on this episode. Great podcast as always. Chitter, chitter, chitter. I'm
What a
very
great
glad that you
comment.
signed off correctly there, as
Yeah, that's
everyone
good. A
should do.
lot of people have forgotten to do that.
This is in reference to Dave talking about shooting lists blowing people's dicks off, I think.
Yeah, I like that turn of phrase, but I do realize it's possibly a bit jarring for some people who don't say it.
Like Ali King.
Ali King just hates swearing of all types. Although specifically, I think he doesn't like you swearing, Stephen. I think he thought it sounded awkward.
Fair enough. It's because he's like my weird adopted father, in that he's
Yeah.
weird. I'm probably adopted, and I call him daddy.
Banger. Anyway, chitter chitter to Master Balak.
Yeah, chitter chitter, Master Ball. Master Ball. It's a Pokemon thing. Tom
Wait, so it
LOK
is.
4254, it's literally a Pokemon logo as well, says, I would be honored if my Minas Morgul display board can be featured in your hobby segment once it's finished. Been listening to your podcast and battle reports while I was working on it. Tom, find one of us on Facebook or drop an email to anyheroics@gmail.com, which I hope is still our email address. I can't remember. With pictures
Put it in the
of
comments.
your display board. And we will do our best to feature it once it's finished.
We'll shout it out if you finish it and throw it out.
Yeah,
Boom.
because that sounds really cool. Stu Art MacLean says, I see that both Dewey, Jay, and yourself, Dave, either ex accidentally or purposefully omitted any faction or army list for the Bubbles 100, and others, like Jakob, omitted just the army list. Is this to gain a slight edge, like putting ruffians even when playing Dragon Emperor? Should we all start following this trend, or TOs enforce full and correct army lists at events on Longshanks?
I think if you're going to play an event on Longshanks, you should put your thing up
Yes.
accurately. The only reason that I didn't put mine up for Bubbles was because I forgot. So I was registering at a moment when it was like a last minute thing. I had to register before a certain deadline, and I didn't have time to find my army list because at that time I didn't have it written down anyway. It was only in the because Matt King does his army list submission via a Google form. So I would have had to dive into my emails to find it and pull it out and copy paste it. So at that moment, I was just like, no, I'm just going to register so I'm in there and I can go back to it later. But when I tried to come back to it on the Saturday morning, because the event had technically started, it wouldn't let me. So that's why I didn't do it. I can't speak for anyone else. I do not approve of putting in false information in this as well, I would say. Like, I
Yeah.
don't like. Like I think the Longshanks ratings are highly flawed anyway. Like they don't tell the whole story. They don't. There's a
Don't
lot
you
of
take that
problems
away
with
from me,
them,
Dave.
but they like the fact that you can just create a tournament and just say that you won it or won a bunch of games, or you can do it for like your personal leagues and stuff. Like I don't think that's bad. I think it's a useful feature, but that will always mean that the faction and the scores and stuff don't really mean a whole lot. But it does take away data and information from the stat nerds out there like myself, who want to look at them and try and figure stuff out and read the list. So like for example, Adepticon, we would never have been able to do that if the top players hadn't been, put their lists in there, So I understand why people don't, because it's like don't give people five days or however long it is before the event that they release them to look at them. But at the same time, it's like if you really need that edge, like I don't want to say grow up, but if you really need the edge of people not being able to see your list for 4 days, like, were you even in contention anyway?
I honestly think that the way it should be done, and obviously this is just my opinion, is the morning of the event, all army lists are made public,
Yeah.
all factions made public, and everyone must have their list in it. And the reason
Yeah.
why is because back in the day, you used to have to print your army list out, or at least in the
Yeah.
UK community, you used to have a printed copy of your army list.
Back in my day.
Usually two copies, sometimes three, one to give to the TO so they could check it, one to give to your opponent, and a spare one. The spare one's just if you're prudent. Now, nowadays, it's just you submit your list and then you say to your opponent, "Would you like to see my list?" Sometimes, usually they say no because I'm a scrub and it doesn't matter what my list is. My opponent's probably beaten me. But really, if your opponent's list is on Longshanks, they can just go, "Okay, I'm playing this person," click the versus button, click the list button. Ah, that's exactly what I'm playing against. And that's how it should be. We have this
Yeah, I mean,
tool, we should be using it.
I think if we're going to use the tool at all, I think you should suggest that. I mean, for example, City of Steel, Ali did specifically say you should, if you're we're using Longshanks and you have to put in your list on Longshanks and you have to put the correct faction. He did say that,
Yeah.
and I like that. One thing I would say is Longshanks, especially for a tournament like City of Steel, where there's very limited combined list building, the fact that the factions show up as a whole before the tournament, before lists are released, is a problem because it means that if you're the last guy submitting a list, say for example, I had 20 lists available to me, which is an exaggeration, but say I had a whole ton of different lists and I'm like, well, this will be good for into that army, this will be good into that army. If there's too much Lothlorien, I can't play this, that, and the other, and I look and I see, oh, there's only three Lothlorien players. I'm essentially benefiting from being the last person to submit a list, which I think is the logic people use when they talk about not wanting to submit their true list. They want to put in Variags of Khand or whatever, so that, or Sharky's Rogues, so that people think, oh, that's not a real list, but they're doing it to shield what their true list actually is.
Yeah, I
I
think
think that's not correct.
there's also something to be said for people should just click the hide your faction until the TO releases it button.
Yeah, I mean, but that doesn't stop the total factions from showing up. It, no matter what you do, even if your faction is hidden, the total number of factions, so you don't know who's got what, but you can still see that there's five Lothlorians, for
Yes, right.
example,
I've got you.
you
I know
know,
the bit you mean.
like, and or like, you know, there's 10 Mordors and five Angmars or something. You know roughly what's going to be in those lists. So again, if you're submitting last, you have a huge advantage. I mean, huge, not a huge advantage, but it is an advantage because you have a rough idea what those lists are going to look like, especially at an omni-faction event where none of the factions have allies or very few of them will. You can see an Isengard list and know roughly what's going to be in it. Like, it can really only be crossbow spam with a bomb or ballista and or maybe a list with Saruman if you're feeling fruity. But it's like, you know that there's going to be, oh, look, there's five Isengards. Therefore, there's five players probably playing a crossbow spam list.
What you're
Like,
saying,
that's
Dave, is
information,
this
you
is Ali
know.
King's
But
fault.
no, it isn't. I think the fact that I think Longshanks should just get rid of that feature, because if you can't, if you're not, if the things aren't currently visible, you shouldn't be able to see the factions, and that would immediately fix this. And then you literally don't have to change anything else. Just hide the factions until everything's released on the day of, and then yeah, then TOs can say, all right, you have to put your faction in accurately. Or as accurately as you can. Obviously, in good versus evil, it's a bit misleading because Longshanks doesn't differentiate. So if you say, this is my good side, this is my evil side. Also, hypothetically, you could have two three-way yellow alliances and then you physically can't put them all in because it only lets you put in four factions. Or you could have, like Jakob did in Northern Ireland last year, you could have a seven-way alliance, which won't go in there either, obviously, because you're going to have four factions. So
Right.
that's
Before
an
Dave
issue.
loses his voice from ranting, let's cover the final comment from the Golems Gamers saying consent to a 1v1 in
It's a
reference to
basketball
our
1v1.
basketball challenge. That can and will be arranged. Also,
Yeah,
you versus Jakob, as man, that boy can play.
I mean, if he can play basketball, he can play better than me. My basketball is horrendous. Basically, the only thing I can do that's worthwhile is before I injured my leg, I could dunk a basketball. That's it. If someone passed it to me, I could dunk it. But that is not necessarily possible anymore. I don't know. I haven't done a lot of high jumping since I ruptured my ACL.
GBHL dunk contest win.
I'd love to. I mean, Elliot would probably enjoy beating the shit out of me at 1v1. But yeah, I'd
Right.
do
It's the
it.
only thing
Cosmo.
you
Do
can
it at Lord of the
actually beat
Rings.
people at, you know.
It'd be a fun cultural exchange where We could play a game. We could play a best of three. We could play SPG first. We could play basketball, and then we could do something that we're equally good at.
Chess.
That's rude. I am terrible at chess, and you're assuming that Elliot is also terrible at chess there, I guess.
Yes.
It wouldn't surprise me if he wasn't a top chess player. That's hopefully not too mean.
It's been Magnus Carlsen
Oh.
all along.
I mean, that would be funny. I'd be impressed.
Right. I think that brings us to a
Well done, Elliot.
close.
I hope that wasn't too mean.
Yeah. Thank you everybody for coming to listen or watch or maybe look through my window while I'm filming this so you can watch it live.
That's what
Remember
I'm
to
doing.
comment, like, share, subscribe, support your hobby. Go check out the other various content providers we've suggested, like Into the West, Columns Gamers, etc. Scan the QR code or click the link in the description for our affiliate link to I was about to say Into the West, Firestorm Games, who host the wonderful Into the West tournament.
Usually, yeah.
And until next time, stay chittery, everyone.
Please stay chittery. We need that.
Stay chittery, San Diego.
Scratch your balls, people.
I'm actually scratching the underside of my cock.